Mark Drake is on a mission to train leaders around the world about the miracle and mystery of Christ living his life in and through all who will believe. Join us on this journey into the heart of the real new covenant and the transforming power of true grace.
Go ahead and open your Bibles, if you would. We're going to finish the segment of our journey through the Psalms that we started last week. And, of course, the overarching theme that we have been referring to constantly is learning how to read the Old Testament, all of it, how to read the Old Testament with new covenant eyes. And the reason that that is so important as we're looking into the Psalms is that the 150 Psalms listed in that compilation, that book, is the most often quoted book in the New Testament. Isaiah is the second and most quoted. It doesn't even come to half the number of times that the book of Psalms is quoted in the New Testament, both by Jesus and by the apostolic writers, Peter, Paul, James, John, those men. They all quoted repeatedly from the book of Psalms. So it was obviously important for them to be able to look at what was an old covenant written book by several authors, not just David, but for them to be able to look at it with new covenant eyes. And Paul, Peter, these guys in the New Testament, the book of Acts, they did that all the time. When you read through there, you see this ongoing quotations from the Old Testament, because at the time, that's the only, quote, scripture that they had. And yet in that, you know, as we talked last week we were talking about the fact that Jesus, it says about Jesus that he took his men between, after the resurrection, before the ascension, that 40 days, he took his men and he opened up the scripture to them to show them how the law of Moses, all the prophets, and the Psalms all speak about Christ, speak about Jesus. So this is a challenge for us. We do not want to be wasting effort doing something that they did in the Old Covenant if, in fact, that has now been fulfilled and done away with, and now we're supposed to fulfill that substance in some other way as New Covenant believers. We don't want to waste our time, our effort, and our money. So it behooves us to keep learning, and that's what I'm trying to do. Linda and I, we're constantly trying to renew our minds in this. Go ahead and turn to Psalm 150, if you would. It's the last psalm in the series of 150, and this is what it says. Praise the Lord. Now, let me ask you a question. Does anybody know, you don't have to be a Greek scholar, you probably have just heard this, anybody know what Hebrew word that is? Those three words, praise the Lord, actually come from one Hebrew word. You know what it is? Say it louder. Hallelujah. And the word Yah, J-A-H, on the end of that is the word for God or Lord that's frequently used in the Old Testament. So what David is saying is, hallelujah. Praise God in his heavenly dwelling. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with the blast of the trumpet. Praise him with the lyre and the harp, the lyre-stringed instrument. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. That is not choreographed dancing. That literally means to be so happy that you start jumping and hopping up and down and spinning. I can do that. That other stuff, nah, not so much. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes, or stringed instruments and wind instruments. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that lives, or the King James says, let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. And then it ends again with what it started with, which is hallelujah. Absolutely. When you read through the book of Psalms, when it's talking about praise, the activities of praise, the different ways to praise God, it repeatedly talks about being loud. Welcome to Sunday service where it's a little loud. And it is on purpose for a variety of reasons. There's some very practical reasons. You put the music volume down a little bit, people start getting real self-conscious. Do you know that? It's the truth. Supermarkets have figured out if you play a certain kind of music, people spend more money. We need to figure out how to do that with the offering in the building. So we can. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Oh, that's it. But throughout the book of Psalms, of course, we find injunctions to praise God, to worship God, and ways, physical ways, in which they did that. And that is very appropriate. The word Psalms itself means hymns of praise. As we've told you before, the Psalms were the song book for David, the Levites, and then on in the following generations for the people to sing as they came to the place of worship and approaching God. They would sing these psalms. They were literal songs. Some of them were songs that recounted history. Some of them are songs that teach or instruct about the laws and ways of God. Many of the psalms are just love songs that they wrote, and they trained the choirs of the Levites and the people to sing. Also, since it is the most quoted book in the New Testament, the book of Psalms is, it's important that we understand that when we read it, we need to ask ourselves a couple of questions. When we read it, we need to know, is this recounting history? Is this giving us guidance or instruction, telling us we ought to do something? But because it was written under the Old Covenant and we're now living in the New Covenant, we need to look at it with New Covenant eyes. So there are two questions that we need to ask ourselves if we have those questions. I think we do. We have questions. Okay, here are the questions with your fingers ready to type out on your phone. Here are the questions. They're real simple. Number one, is this fulfilled in Christ? That's the first thing we need to ask. There are a lot of things in the Psalms. For example, Psalm 51:1, create in me a clean heart, O God. Has Jesus already done that for us in the new creation? Absolutely. If you've been born again, you are a new creation. You have been given a new heart. Jeremiah 31:31 and Ezekiel 36:26 both tell us prophetically that the new covenant is going to be that God's going to take out the hard heart of stone and put in a living heart, a real heart. Now, when he talks, when they talk about the heart, and David also frequently is out of the Psalms, they're not referring to that which pumps blood. They're talking about the inner man. But God's going to give us a new one. That's what he's done in the new creation. Now, we don't want God to somehow give us a different heart now, not if you're born again. You don't want that. What you do want is for God to renew not your heart, but your what? Your mind. The ongoing task for us is to read this and let it renew our mind. So when we read that passage or several passages like that, we look at it and can say, yes, Christ has done that on our behalf. He has already fulfilled that. So that's good. We should ask ourselves, is this somehow supposed to still be fulfilled in me? Every place in the book of Psalms where it talks about praise and worship, that's not something old that we put away. That's something present right now. As new covenant people, we have been called to be active in the procedures and the performance before God. And I mean that in the way of acting out. But praise and worship, that didn't stop in the old covenant. That continues on through the new. In fact, when John gets glimpses of what's going on in heaven, he frequently says, and I saw a multitude of people who were crying out praise unto him who sits on the throne, and then they'd all fall down. Then they'd get up and they'd praise again, and then they'd all fall down. Because they were being overwhelmed by the greatness of their God. So that's an old covenant thing. That's also a new covenant thing. So every time we read that in the Psalms, we need to do that. We need to enjoy that. Many of the Psalms are just downright love songs from the heart of David or other men who fully loved God and wanted to give expression. And this is so very important because last week we started the first part. Today's the second part of our journey through Psalms. We're talking about God has given me a body, a physical mortal body, to express my inner man, my heart. What I feel in here, God has given me a body so that I can find expression to what I'm feeling. Let me tell you something. There are a few things more frustrating than feeling deep gratitude and never expressing it. It certainly doesn't do the person that you're so grateful for any good. It's the expression. But a great thing happens when we express it. It grows in us. You know, David liked to say things like, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." By the way, when the Old Testament was translated before the first century into what's referred to as the Septuagint version, it's where they took the Old Testament in Hebrew, translated it into Greek. The word in Greek for magnify is mega. M-E-G-A. And it means exactly back then what it means now. Mega. What does that mean? Big. Really big. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, make God bigger. Wait a minute. How can I make the eternal one bigger? Well, I can't make him bigger. But the more I declare his bigness, what happens in my mind? It grows. I see his bigness more. I can't make him bigger, but I can sure increase my awareness. And that's what we're talking about. We're not asking God in our praise and worship to come and be more of himself. We're asking God, as we declare his goodness, to increase our ability, our awareness, that he is way bigger than I've been able to realize. That it is high, his love for us is higher, deeper, wider, longer. So when we read through the book of Psalms, and there are all these exhortations about how to praise, what to use when we praise. By the way, you know the book of Psalms is filled with instruments that are referred to be used in praise. However, the overwhelming category of instruments that are written in Psalms is the category of rhythm instruments. Banging on drums, clanging on cymbals. Hit something and make a noise with it. Keep a rhythm. Keep a rhythm. Now that's where we might need our black friends to help us out a little bit more. We got to keep rhythm. My son-in-law, for married our oldest daughter, he's black, African-American. He got rhythm. He thinks I'm a lost cause. He's been working with me for years, but he still loves me. But these psalms, hymns of praise, literally, were given to them in the Old Covenant to find expression through their heart, their inner man, through their body, to express their heart of worship and praise to God. They had a body to do that. That holds true for us. That doesn't get stuck in the Old Covenant. That carries through us. But what does change is that in the Old Covenant, what we see in the cries of worship and praise and cries out to God, there's always this reaching for something that I don't quite have yet. There's always needing something about God that I don't quite get yet. But in us, he is in us. We're not asking him to come. We're asking him to increase our awareness of what's already in us. They were reaching out, and the end of the book of Hebrews says, chapter 11 in Hebrews, says that many of them died having never seen the fulfillment of what they were hoping for and asking for. And certainly that revolved around a greater understanding of God, a greater intimacy and fellowship with God. But in the new covenant, the gate has been thrown wide open. We don't have to do Psalm 100. Now begin with thanksgiving. Once you get through the gate, then to praise. I mean, that's all fine. I used to teach it that way too, and that's okay. But what we need to understand is that's not trying to get God to be more. It's trying to expand our awareness of who he is and what he really is. Now, this is very important, because if we don't understand this, has Christ fulfilled it? Has it been fulfilled in us in the new covenant? Or should we also be participating as praise and worship gets carried on? The reason it's important to understand this and to grow in your understanding is because there is a great danger of what I believe the New American Standard and King James refers to as private interpretation of the Scripture. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 20, says this: "But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture..." Now, what Scripture would Peter have been writing about? The Old Testament. Now, they did refer to some of Paul's letters. Peter does refer to them as Scripture. However, the bulk of what he would be talking about here is Old Testament. No prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. We often talk about the Word of God, the Bible. The Word of God has been God-breathed. And that's because both the Hebrew and the Greek refer to the breath of God flowing through the people who wrote these things for us, i.e., they're divinely inspired. But Peter warns us that when we read what was written before, that we stick with the reality of, if it's history, then read it as history. If it's poetry, then read it as poetry. If it's prophecy, read it as prophecy and see if it's been fulfilled, because the vast majority of them have been fulfilled. And really, the only big remaining one is the kingdom of God, as Daniel saw the stone that was thrown against the statue, crushed, and then that stone grew until it became a mountain that filled the whole earth. That's the fullness of the kingdom of God. But if we don't do that, we end up doing this. We end up reading things in the Old Testament and then suddenly feeling like, ooh, that's God speaking to me that I ought to go do something. I ought to go to the Philippines. Well, how do you know? Well, the Psalms here say that the island shall profess your glory, O God. And I've been feeling like I should be going to the island of the Philippines. And so that's a confirmation. Be careful. Be careful. Because virtually every true heresy out there started with somebody, and usually a man, taking some isolated passages that had no context at all, and then declaring that I have special revelation on what that means. And suddenly a sect or a cult begins to grow up around about it. So this is important. Now, I do want to say this, and I please understand this. I have to keep saying it, and I know it's because I am enthusiastic in what I believe. I feel that words are important, and so I'm picky about that. I hope I'm picky to myself and not others. And I just want to go on record because lately a few people here in Anchorage have been quoting me on blogs on the internet, saying that I'm teaching fables. So I want to go right on. Oh, it's fun. It's been happening for years, so it's all over the world. It's fun. It's actually enjoyable. So I want to go on record right now and say, I don't want to be the word police. Okay? I don't. And I know that people, good-hearted people who love me, care about me, maybe have some respect for my views or whatever, get really nervous when they get around me sometimes, because typically they're afraid they're going to say the word grace when in fact what we mean is mercy, and they don't want to be wrong around me. Please, be free in Jesus' name right now. Please, be free, be free, be free. I don't want to be that. That's not what this is about. This is not, we do not want this to be Phariseeism where we want to get every jot and tittle that other people don't have so we can feel superior to them. That's not what this is about. But it is about this. Give me the meaning of words here. Pop that up there if you would, please. And we understand this because we talked about it a lot. Words have meaning. Meaning defines our beliefs. Beliefs build the foundation for our very existence. So words and their meanings do matter. These things do matter. Now let me give you an example of how one word can literally strip the power out of the miracle of the new birth and the indwelling Christ. Give me that bumper sticker if you would. Years ago, we saw this as bumper stickers, and lo and behold, just 3 weeks ago, I saw it on the front of a church sign in Missouri. How many have heard this before? Christians aren't perfect, they're just forgiven. Have you ever heard that before? Yeah, that has been going around for a long, long time. Let me tell you something. I don't believe that for a minute. I will not entertain that for a minute. Now, I'm not against whoever first said it, but I'm not going to say that. Now, are Christians perfect? No. So that's right. Are Christians forgiven? Yes. So that's right. But when you put the word just, suddenly what you're saying is that the new covenant just does what the old covenant does, forgives you. That's all it does. It just forgives you. Oh, no, it doesn't. It just puts the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead inside of your mortal body. Man, that's way more than just forgiveness. I mean, if we're going to say anything, Christians are not perfect. They're just filled with He who was risen from the dead. Okay, I'll go with that. But you see, just that one word. And I know it sounds humble and sweet, but it's wrong. And it steals our belief that we're in the midst of an ongoing miracle as Christ is growing His nature and His presence in us. And the evidence of it is that good works are flowing out of our lives where they were not before. Now they are because He's at work inside of us. So words do matter. Now, there's another word that we want to deal with, and that's the word body, B-O-D-Y. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10, or you can probably follow us up here on the screen. Now, listen to this prophetic statement in the book of Hebrews explaining this issue of shadow and substance. The old system in the law of Moses was only a shadow of the things to come, not the reality of the good things Christ has done for us. The sacrifices under the old system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But just the opposite happened. Here is why we put away the old covenant. We say it was great for its time, but it's done now. We lay it aside. Because just the opposite happened. Those yearly sacrifices reminded them of their sins year after year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That is why Christ, now listen to this now, here it is, quoting from David in the Psalms. That is why Christ, when He came into the world, said, this is right out of Psalms. You did not want animal sacrifices and grain offerings, but You have given Me a body so that I may obey You. Right out of the book of Psalms. And the prophecy was that God was going to take His Son, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, and give Him a human body. Give Him a human body. Why? So that He may do the will of the One who sent Him. And He goes on quoting David. No, you were not pleased with animals burned on the altar or with the offerings of sin, the offerings for sin. Then I said, here it is again, another quote from Psalms. Look, I have come to do Your will, O God, just as it is written about Me in the Scriptures. Taken right out of the book of Psalms. And verse 7, then I said, again, back quoting from Psalm in the Old Testament, I have come to do Your will, O God, just as it is written by the Scriptures. Christ said, you did not want animal sacrifices, grain offerings, altars burned, or animals burned on the altar, or other offerings for sin, nor were You pleased with them, though they were required by the law of Moses. Then He added, David first said it, Christ is now declaring it. Look, I have come to do Your will. He cancels the first covenant in order to establish the second. For what God wants for us is to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Now what happens is Jesus came into the earth. The Father gave Him a body. When He died, was resurrected. He was resurrected with a mortal body, just like you and I will be. We will all be resurrected and our bodies will be reunited with our spirit and soul, because that's the way we will serve God forever in a perfect body and a spirit, soul, body unity. That's the way we're going to serve God forever and ever. Now, when we talk specifically about David's teaching and Asaph's teaching, other teaching in the book of Psalms about praise and worship, we cannot or we must not overlook the fact that virtually everything they say about praise and worship is an action. It is a verb. It is something that you do. You don't just think worship. You actually do something that defines worship, that lets worship flow out of you. Your praise is not something that we just think about, although that's a good thing to do. But when David speaks in the Psalm 150, all that banging, clanging, blowing, strumming, dancing, shouting, that's all doing something. Why? Because God has given us a body to do His will. And a foundation stone in us doing God's will is that we learn how to express back to Him in praise and worship our love for Him, our gratitude for Him. And the more we express it, what happens? The more it grows, the more our awareness grows. And there's a reason why the more we express it, our understanding grows. Let me show you this here. Praise. Let's give a definition real fast so we understand what we're talking about. Praise. These are the various Hebrew words that are used for praise, but they all come back basically to the same thing, to make a show, to boast. Now, what are we boasting in? In Him. What He's done, what He is doing, what He will do. To be clamorously foolish. I love that. I love that. To be clamorously foolish. You say, well, is that really important? You know, is that really appropriate? Well, when we're together as God's family, yeah. Walmart, nah. Because we're not putting on a show for other people. We're giving expression through our body for our heart. We're expressing. Listen, love felt but unexpressed is not good. Love felt but not expressed doesn't do the one that should be receiving the appreciation, doesn't do them any good. If you're truly, truly grateful for something that someone else does, but you never, ever express it to them, they don't get any of the benefit of knowing that you think they're doing a good job. Now, this is part of what's important about us. Many of you I know try to teach your children to speak respectfully to adults. You're not doing that because you think that somehow they will end up being greater blessed by God. You're doing that because you want them to grow in their ability to honor and respect when it is appropriate. The more you have them do it, the more you're hoping they're going to grow or expand their awareness that doing it is a good thing to do. And how many parents know it just seems like it's an impossibility? Right? Yes, yes. But with man, things are impossible, but with God. Okay, well, anyway. All right, all things are possible. You know, David says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. This is a repeated statement. It's also in the New Testament about magnifying the Lord. How do we magnify the Lord? Can we literally magnify the Lord? No. But when we say magnify the Lord, where are we wanting Him to expand or be magnified? In us, in our minds, in our emotions. And by the way, when it's used in the New Testament, the Greek word is literally M-E-G-A, mega. And it means exactly what mega means when we use it today. Huge! You know, one of the accusations that we get if we talk very much about grace currently is, oh, you're one of those hyper-grace preachers. Well, when you look up hyper, it means greater, bigger than you could ever imagine. It just goes on and on and on. Well, okay, yes! Guilty! Guilty. His love is bigger than I could ever imagine. It goes on further than I can comprehend. Absolutely. Is He hyper? Yeah. Do I want to be hyper about His goodness, His greatness, His majesty? Absolutely. But to do that, we must give expression. So God has given us the book of Psalms for a variety of reasons, but that's one big reason in the New Covenant. That's why they quoted it so much. Let's go to this, go to worship. Now, worship has a different word, and we're trying not to be the word police here, and we're not going to pick at each other. However, there is a distinct emotional difference between praise and worship. And simply put, praise is loud, it is clamorous, it's typically fast, and it's releasing a joy and a sense of victory because we're with God and He always wins. And praise gets big. And by the way, I'm 64. And I know some of you are my age and older. And sometimes we may feel that it's getting a little too loud in here with all those instruments. Well, one thing is we want to serve you because we leave earplugs laying at the back. Yeah, we leave earplugs. Larry Hubble uses them every week. Yeah, he and I both have old rock and roll ears and they don't work quite so good. But you know what? I understand that what we have up here primarily, not 100% primary, but primarily what we have going on up here is not to reach people in my age bracket. We're trying to, who said that? I just want to make sure you caught that. That was Dick. We're not trying to reach people our age. We're trying to reach people who can go much further than we've ever gone, because they have years ahead of them. They can build on what they get and what they learn right now. And they can move further in the kingdom of God and expanding His kingdom than I ever have. So whether I like every song that's picked or not, it doesn't make any difference. Nobody asked me. And it's not important. But Scott, my nephew, is our worship pastor. He loves us and he loves Dick, so he throws in a hymn every now and then. Of course, it's always with a faster beat or, you know, something. But nonetheless, the words are there. All right, Hebrews 2, very quickly. Hebrews 2, give that to us if we've got it here. Now listen, folks, this is, here's the jackpot, all right? Here's the jackpot right here. Hebrews 2, 11 and 12. So now Jesus and the ones He makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them, us, His brothers and sisters. For He said to God, now the Hebrews writer is quoting right out of Psalms. This is word for word, right in Psalms. He says, it's Jesus. I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I, the Christ, will praise you among your assembled people. You know what we desperately need to increase our awareness of? That when we gather to sing to Him, to lift our hands to Him, to shout our joy for what He's done, Jesus is in the midst of us right here, worshiping the Father in us and through us. There is something more than music being played. There's something more than people clapping their hands. There's something more. There's something that's going on in us as we assemble as His body. He is now the head. We are individual members of His body. And if some of those members gather together, the head begins to worship the Father through the gathered members of the body. Look at this. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter... Is that right? Okay, I may have lost it. Oh, there we go. All right. All right. Galatians 4. Now listen to this. Listen. Because you are sons, Paul says, God sent the Spirit of His Son into where? Our hearts. The Spirit who does what? He calls out, Abba, Father. Think about this. Paul said, when God put the Spirit in you, He now is crying worship to God through you. He is in you. But as in you, He is crying out worship to God. Now look at the next thing. Go to Romans here. That's okay. That's right. I'll read it. All right. Just write it down. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. By Him we cry, Abba, Father. Now, connect those two verses. Paul says the Spirit in us is calling out worship. Abba, Father. My dear Father. My dear Father. Then Paul says to the Romans, we open our mouths of our literal, physical, mortal bodies, and we let that cry come out of our mouth. When you open your mouth to give expression, praise, and worship, the Spirit of Jesus is worshiping in you and through you. And we must give it bigger expression. We must find a way. Romans 12:1, Paul says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your physical bodies as a living sacrifice, because this is true worship. Hebrews 13 says, we offer up continually the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Ah, listen, my friend, we're talking about something more than just music. We're talking about something more than just clapping hands. We're talking about using our physical bodies to express what's going on in our spirit. And I want to challenge you to increase the ways in which you do that. I want to challenge you to look in the book of Psalms, compared to some of the things you see in the book of Revelation, how people were crying out, clapping their hands, face down on the ground. They were doing all of those things. Now, do you have to do all that? No. You don't have to eat either. There's an important benefit that comes from both. The more we give expression to the love of God that is inside of us, and we express that back to the Father, the more we give expression to it, the greater it grows in us. You want to feed your faith? Spend more time declaring to God how awesome you believe He is. Say, well, I want to love God more. I'll tell you how to love God more. How did you begin loving Him in the first place? We love Him because He first loved us. We first experienced the reality of His love, and we loved Him back. Well, then how am I going to love Him back more? I need to grow in my comprehension of how much greater His love is for me than I realized to this point. Because the bigger my awareness is, the more I love Him. Does that make sense? So very, very important. The big obstacle, of course, is self-awareness. Who may be looking at me. It doesn't fit in with my personality. Oh, not true. I'll guarantee you that if your kid does something phenomenally well, you will find a way to express it. Or if somebody punches your kid, you'll find a way to express. Now, we all won't do it in the same way, and that's fine. However, what's not fine is to always do it the same way I've always done it. We've got to grow in this. We've got to grow in letting our bodies express what's going on in our heart and mind. I told the first group this morning, the first service, that I wasn't going to do this because Linda told me that she'd really be upset at me if I did. And that was, I was going to get I had a music clip already. But in deference to my wife, I'm not going to show it. However, I'm going to say it. How many remember Olivia Newton-John? You remember Olivia Newton-John? How many remember that song? Let's get physical, physical. Come on and get physical. Listen, let me hear your body talk. You remember that song? Now, I know some of you are so young. You say, what kind of junk is that? Now, I understand that that song in its entirety is totally inappropriate. But Josh is always doing stuff up here that's totally inappropriate. So I can do one. I mean, my goodness. Get physical, she said, and let me hear your body talk. I do believe that the Holy God of all creation is constantly inviting us to get more physical in our expression, letting our bodies talk about what our hearts are feeling. And if we want to be more aware of His love, the Bible tells us that we should magnify Him by declaring in every different form and fashion that we can think of how great He is. And the result will be His greatness will grow in our awareness. But you gotta let your bodies talk. Jesus said, you gave me a body. And I came to do your will. And now, as your son, I'm in the midst of your people. When they open their mouth, I open my mouth. When they cry, Abba, Father, my spirit is crying, Abba, Father, through them. When they allow their bodies to give expression. Now, I understand if you do this just to see by people, that's your only reward. If you do this in the middle of when something else is going on, 1 Corinthians 14 says you're out of order, please don't do that. There's a time for everything. But there is a time for everything. There's a time for us to get louder than we've been. I don't mean music to break our eardrums, but I mean us individually. There's a time for us to grow in expressing our love, our joy, our delight in knowing that we've been made a child, a daughter, a son of the Most High God. Give expression to that. And God has given us all physical bodies in one way or another so that we can do that. Would you stand with me, please?
Join us on this new covenant journey at markdrake.org.